Recording has started.
Thanks. All right. Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning to people that are not in the same time zone as me. It's 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on September 12th. I'd like to welcome everyone back for the continuation of the National AA Technology Virtual Gathering 2020. My name is Carolyn, and I'm an alcoholic. Let's start with a moment of silence to be used as you wish. Thank you. In keeping with our 11th tradition, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes or in any published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on the internet or other news media technologies. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. Our tradition of anonymity also reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. All session audio and screen share content is being recorded. NAATW will not publish anyone's last name or face. If you hear a last name, please let us know so we can scrub it in post-processing. We've set up a virtual hospitality suite in a separate Zoom room and a Slack channel for participant communication. We've also created a Google Doc for crowdsourced notes. If you have a question, please submit it using the form we've created. It is organized by session name and gives you the opportunity to choose the person it's intended for. We'll read as many questions as we can during any free time between the presentation and the end of the session. To make sure we stay on schedule, we'll finish a few minutes before the end of the time slot to allow the next presenter to get ready. Hosts, co-hosts, and presenters are listed in Zoom with a hashtag in front of their names, so they will appear at the top of the participants list. Links to all of the things I've just talked about will be pasted in the chat and are also available at naatw.org/2020-links. Participants will be muted during the presentation and chat between participants will be turned off. You can chat to our co-hosts. You can especially chat if you have any questions or need help to our hashtag help coordinators, Daniel and Joel. So if we are allowing share of video and share of virtual backgrounds, if video is not shared in a respectful manner, it will be disabled. So that brings me to the end of the sort of technical notes for the session. Now it is my great honor to introduce our next panel, which is titled Meeting Formats, Online, In Person, or Both. Three members share their experiences with various formats for recovery meetings, service meetings and assemblies, and general accessibility for using online meetings. So I would like to introduce to you our first panelist, Royce E. from Freehold, New Jersey. Take it away, Royce.
Hi, Carolyn. And just to be clear, I guess we have about 20 minutes for each speaker.
That is correct.
Okay. So my topic is integrating Zoom with face-to-face meetings. 20 minutes really doesn't cut it, but I'll highlight everything. And if you're interested, my virtual background is getting in the way, but I have a 17-page white paper guaranteed to put you to sleep by about page two, and I'll make arrangements with Carolyn to get that out. Let me bring up the slides. And I'm not actually seeing anything, so that didn't really work out as planned.
I see it.
Oh, you see the presentation? That's
yes,
good.
Sir.
That's one of us. Okay, so... there. Integrating Zoom with face-to-face meetings. My phone number, if you want a copy of that presentation and can't get anywhere else, just send me a text with your email address and we'll go from there. How did we get here? Meaning, how did we get to using Zoom in instead of face-to-face meetings? while novel coronavirus led to a shutdown and isolation of society. Novel only means that it was a new presentation of the disease. Coronavirus has been actually around for many, many years, which is why you see it on your can of Lysol. But this one is, of course, much more serious. AA groups are at the top of the inverted pyramid, and they're the people who started virtual meetings. It wasn't World Service saying, we got a great idea. It wasn't anything like that. It was individuals and groups who wanted to stay in touch with one another because they realized their life depended on it. Zoom became the de facto standard for 12-step meetings and a variety of other meetings. We'll talk a little bit about why that is. Why Zoom? Okay, so Zoom is made for virtual meetings of a professional scale. There's other different programs out there, and I go into more detail in the white paper, but Apple FaceTime, for instance, allows meetings of up to 32 participants. It's very casual. It's really not meant for the scale of even a small AA meeting. TeamViewer is talked about. That was actually made for remote desktop access, and it does a wonderful job. If you're having trouble with your desktop, somebody from HP or Dell can TeamViewer in and make the changes for you, and that's terrific. But those are not really, meetings are not their core competency. Zoom is cost effective. Cisco WebEx provides a wonderful virtual experience, but it's very expensive. It's so expensive that WebEx will tell you they're not expensive, and when you look into it, you find out you've been lied to. Zoom provides easy access for newcomers. Microsoft Teams, for instance, has a meeting functionality, and it's wonderful, but you have to know who your attendees are ahead of time. Zoom allows anybody with the Zoom ID and a password to come on board. And Zoom caught on at the right time. You know, I think as more and more people use Zoom, Zoom got the market share. They were in the right place at the right time. Cost and capacity of Zoom. Free Zoom offering is not useful to us because it caps meetings at 40 minutes. We really need, for an hour meeting, we really need a minimum of an hour and a half, sometimes more. But, you know, 10 minutes before, 20 minutes to clear the room out. Zoom Pro is available for $14.99 a month, which is not a bad price, and has a limit of 100 participants. Now, when you think about who's coming to your meeting, realize that you're not drawing people from the neighborhood, you're drawing people from the world, potentially. And so virtual meetings may far exceed physical meetings. I hopped on a meeting marathon that happens on a daily basis at 2 a.m, expecting just a few people to be there, and there were 126 people. Participant levels can be increased, you know, by paying more. $50 a month additional allows you to have 500 participants. $90 a month additional allows 1,000 participants. Zoom meetings cannot exceed 1,000 participants. GoToMeeting, for instance, allows up to 3,000, but I found effectively 1,000 is not a bad limit. Discounts on Zoom. TechSoup provides discounts on annual Zoom subscription. The key there is it's annual. They don't allow month to month. And so you have to commit to using this tool, you have to commit to paying for the tool for a year, not so much using. Your group has to be incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit. There's good reasons for being incorporated. If any groups have tried to set up a bank account recently without being incorporated, my experience was I was not able to. I had to provide exhaustive amounts of data, including our incorporation papers, our tax ID papers, and a listing of our potential revenue streams and what we spend the money on. Banking has become very, very less formal these days. When factoring all fees, you don't save much on Zoom Pro. That 100 limit one, you save about $10 a year going through TechSoup. Where you do save money is the large meeting options are 50% off, which saves you hundreds of dollars on a monthly basis. That should say on an annual basis. So, benefits of virtual and face-to-face meetings. Virtual meetings allow easy travel for out-of-town speakers and literally for anyone. Virtual meetings provide an effective tool for remote communities, meaning that somebody can be in a senior citizen home, and they can either have it on their iPad or they can have it in a group room, but it's a way for us to reach remote communities. And the remote communities don't have to be far away. They have to be isolated by mobility, basically. Face-to-face meetings, on the other hand, are more comfortable. People are used to them. People feel more connected in fellowship many times. However, here's the thing about the new normal when it comes to face-to-face meetings. People may be disappointed. There's a lack of physical contact. Nobody wants to hold hands at the end of the meeting. Masks must be worn for the entire meeting, and social distancing is awkward and limits the number of people who can be in a room. We'll look at that a little bit later in a case study. Hybrid meetings. So hybrid meetings, meaning Zoom in a physical meeting, allow the best of both worlds. Zoom brings speakers and attendees from around the world. Zoom allows additional attendees past your physical room limit. In New Jersey, now that we've reopened, we're only allowed 25% of our normal capacity. For the clubhouse that I've attended, that means instead of having 83 people in the room, we can only have 21. And if you do the math, you realize we're rounding up. We should actually only be allowed 20, but, you know, AA is not always rigorously honest. Zoom allows people in self-quarantine to participate in AA. One of the members of my home group had a lung replacement and is in anti-rejection medication and will be for life. He doesn't really want to go into a physical AA meeting. He'd rather be on Zoom. Zoom, and this came up during the break. Someone else said this, but I had it in here, I promise. Zoom may attract newcomers who are hesitant to walk into a physical meeting. I would much rather, when I came in, to sit behind the screen and get to know people before I journeyed into the room, but that just wasn't an option. Other considerations. Is anonymity more of a concern in a Zoom meeting? And I ask people to be realistic about this question. You know, when somebody walks into a physical meeting room, you don't know if they're actually an alcoholic. You know, it's actually a little easier to be anonymous online. You can turn off your video if the community allows that. You know, it's just easier. How do you support Seventh Tradition? Well, this was talked about before and will be talked about later, but we must educate our members because they may think that all of this virtual meetings comes without a cost. And we know that Zoom costs money, maintaining an internet connection costs money, You know, we have to educate people to that. We have to offer collection services that people are comfortable with. Some people prefer PayPal, some prefer Venmo. Some groups use both to be able to facilitate that. Case studies. We're going to quickly look at three case studies, more detail in the document. Small case study of the Dubious Group in Freehold, an AA Clubhouse case study, and an AA 44, Area 44 case study. Dubious Group, a small meeting held in a church kitchen. Normal attendance is about up to a dozen people. Meeting space would not support social distancing. We could maybe get six people in the room, more likely four, maintaining that 6 feet between people. Several of our members are older. One is severely immunocompromised. They don't want to come to people who've been out in the world. They want to stay somewhat isolated. Does this meeting have the ability to be hybrid? Absolutely. For the people in the room, having a laptop computer gives everybody enough access to see who's speaking. The chairperson can alternate between a raised hand on Zoom and somebody in the room. New Attitudes Clubhouse. So that's a rented space that featured 41 meetings before coronavirus. As I said before, New Jersey restricts us to have 25% or 21 people. The first reopening was a failure. One of our attendees chaired three meetings and turned out to be COVID-19 positive. We're not sure, that was early August. We're not sure if that transmitted at all, but what happened is the facility was shut down till the beginning of September, thoroughly cleaned. Perhaps not enough precautions are being taken to prevent infection. One criticism I have is, while they enforce using masks and social distancing, suggestions to take people's temperature coming in have been rejected because nobody wants to do that. It's a judgment call, but I don't think it's the right one. Infrastructure, someone placed to offer hybrid meetings. They have a full sound system and wireless microphones with a Bluetooth interface. So if they have a PC in place, a laptop, they can broadcast the sound over the speakers, and with a large screen TV, which can be stored in their closet between meetings, they can have an experience of everybody coming in through Zoom. And there's sort of the difference. On the left is the clubhouse when it was before COVID-19. Lots of chairs around. You can even see some up front. Afterwards, chairs 6 foot apart, tape on the floor to make sure that you don't go into the wrong place. The coffee maker that was on the counter has been removed. This bookshelf, which was filled with 50 copies of Big Book, 12 and 12, Living Sober, and Daily Reflections, all that literature has gone out because we don't want people passing the virus through contact. And that's that. Area office. The area office is used in two different ways. Committee meetings are the equivalent of small group meetings, and they can certainly socially distance. Area committee meetings are large meetings. We normally fill the room between all our DCMs and all the chairs of committees and the offices. So there's no way we can hold those unless we hold it as a hybrid meeting. And what that might look like is all of our area offices showing up in person and everybody else coming in via Zoom. committee meetings can still be held face to face, but if you have the ability in place, why not allow other people to join in from other parts of New Jersey? Will hybrid meetings allow greater inclusion? I believe so. And the reason I say that is New Jersey is somewhat spread out, northern New Jersey. Sometimes people come an hour and a half to attend a committee meeting. I know that they'd much rather be on a Zoom component where they don't have to do that driving back and forth. Conclusions. For the immediate future, hybrid meetings are the way to support more members. You know, when people start returning to a clubhouse, it's not going to be long before 21 seats are not enough. We're used to having meetings of 60 and 70 people. People are going to get locked out. And nobody likes that. You know, we hate that idea of leaving our brothers and sisters behind. We want to include everybody. And Zoom is a way to do that. I caution the benefits of Zoom should not be thrown out in a rush to return to face-to-face meetings. There'll come a time, hopefully, when we're able to have a full room, but I think the benefits of Zoom are far too many to throw it out. We survived isolation by using technology. By working together, we can do great things. And I think nobody would see that clearer than the people in this room right now. And isn't that what AA has taught us all along? You know, I was taught when I came in here that I couldn't do it alone. If I could have, I would have gotten a copy of the big book, went home, read it, and stayed sober. It wasn't going to happen. I had to have the support of other people. And in terms of technology, we need that same support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Royce. Thank you so much. Okay, our next presenter is going to share with us her experience with handling service meetings and assemblies in an online fashion. So I would like to welcome Monica from Chicago to talk to us next. We could stop the share. Royce, can you stop the share?
You know what? Let me do
this. I got it. I can go ahead and take over it.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, Monica.
Sure, no problem. Hi, everybody. My name is Monica. I'm an alcoholic. Can everyone see my screen okay? Great. Thank you, Caroline, so much for asking me to speak today. I currently serve as the Area 19 Chair. And I also want to thank all of the committee. I mean, I don't think I captured all of your names, although I've been on several calls with you for prepping so far, but Doug, Lois, James, Eddie, Lou, Alex, Glenn, Keith, thank you so much. We really do appreciate you setting up this virtual gathering. So I'm going to try to keep an eye on the time, but also on my slideshow. So I first want to give my disclaimer, and that is I'm not a professional, I'm not an expert, I am not a spokesperson for Alcoholics Anonymous. I am just simply going to share my experience, truth, and hope. And I believe that there is a huge silver lining to all of this, and that I think our current situation has allowed AA members to embrace technology and make a really big advancement that would have taken many, many years if a compelling event had never happened. I mean, the big book talks about the mushrooming effect, right? And that's exactly what happened. So I've been asked to share with you my experience about service meetings and area assemblies. So in order to do that, let me first set the stage about Area 19. So Area 19 is Chicagoland. There are 93 areas in the United States and Canada, and we are 19. We're fondly called Chicago AA or AA Chicagoland. We have an estimated 35,000 alcoholics in Area 19, and we encompass 945 square miles. The overall population in Chicago is about 5.1 million people. In Area 19, we have 20 districts, and you can see on the right a picture of what our geographical neighborhood looks like. There are 16 neighborhoods or districts and 4 linguistics. We do have a very large Polish and Spanish population here in Chicago. Now, Area 19 does not have any intergroups except for our linguistics. So for those of you that are active in area service, this might be a little different than what you might find in your area. We hold business meetings, or what we like to call Chicago Area Service Assembly, every 60 days. And we have approximately 750 voting members in our area. In our area, we have an area office, which we call CASO, Chicago Area Service Office. And the primary purpose of the office is to carry the message to the alcoholic that's still suffering, but it also functions where a group cannot. Again, many areas have this intergroup. It will perform duties that a registrar, for example, would do. We have supporting volunteers and we have paid staff members. And our office maintains paper directories. We do that 3 times a year. We have a directory in the suburbs and we have a directory in the city. We have approximately 2,974 physical meetings. We now have over 250 virtual meetings, and all this information is listed on our website at chicagoaa.org. And we maintain at the office a database with all of our meetings, all of our contacts, as well as our GSRs, our group service representatives. We also have a bookstore. Now, our bookstore has never closed during shelter in place. And I am so happy to say that we have closed it to foot traffic, but you are able to schedule pickup deliveries if you're local, and we will also go ahead and ship out. Our budget in our office is about $800,000, and this budget is mostly used to support the Area 19 service committees. We have 14 service committees, and these service committees meet monthly, and since June of 2019, we have been using Zoom technology. So how did this happen? Well, January of 2018, I know it seems like so long ago, especially it's like before COVID, I don't even remember what happened. We were having DCM sharing sessions, right, with the district chair members. And we were trying to find a way to increase participation in our service committees. We started talking about audio and video collaboration. Remember, Chicago is 945 square miles. And the traffic in Chicago can literally be unbearable. Our office is downtown. It could take some of the members who wanted to do service committee work over an hour and 40 minutes to get to the office for their monthly committee meeting. And then you have to pay the $16 or $20 in parking on top of that. So online technology grew in our area out of a need to not pay for parking and to not have to deal with the traffic. Okay, so how did we do this? Well, this is what the central office conference room looks like. We have a conference room where we had meetings as well as where every single service committee was able to meet. And we also have a small room that's used for our archives committee. In our May assembly, a motion was brought forward with the idea for a subcommittee to create a proposal for purchase of equipment. In our July finance meeting of 2018, that was passed, and I got to be part of the subcommittee that assisted with the research. We did a lot of testing. We looked at a lot of different equipment, a lot of different proposals and presentations. We had proposals came in anywhere from $2,000 up to like $14,000. I even want to say one of them might have even been like $35,000, depending on high tech and high fancy you wanted to get one of these things. Our area ended up spending about $4,000 all in all. We did have professional services do the installation in our office, and we did have to have some electricians and things of that nature. So we went live in January of 2019 with Zoom technology. We originally began, and we chose Zoom. I do wanna say that Zoom is not the only online platform out there. We just heard Royce talk about several different options. We did do a lot of evaluation, and this was the solution that we had chosen to go with. We had a couple of members who acted as training conduits. They scheduled meetings over 6 months with all of our area committees. We taught them, we gave them 3-page guidelines, very simple rules. I say rules because this is a used meeting on a regular basis, so we do have a few rules that we needed to follow. And so we now, you know, fast forward to 2020, we have doubled the amount of participation that we have in our service committees. We ended up changing after shelter in place happened our Zoom account. We now have 10 accounts for our area. Our office manager helps assist with this and scheduling and coordinating. And depending how active a service committee is, they may have their actual own account. We add webinars if we need to support larger events. So what's really interesting is this sets up Area 19 very, very well when shelter in place happened. And that was just a hidden result that we could not have anticipated or that we had any idea. So I want to now talk a little bit about the service assembly. So my job as the Area 19 chair is to host and facilitate this area assembly. So our area assembly was scheduled for March 28th. In my mind, I think of St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, as the day in which shelter in place happened. So I called an emergency area officer and executive board meeting to determine our next steps. And we unanimously voted that we would be hosting our area assembly within 2 weeks. And we did not miss a beat. I learned and watched more videos than I ever thought possible to learn about Zoom because yes, we had the technology, but I barely knew how to use it, let alone how to host a meeting. And when you host an assembly, I literally feel like I am hosting a production. This is like a TV production going on, and I'm sure the committee agrees with me right now. So 2 weeks later, we hosted our first area assembly. 172 people showed up. Normally we have closer to 100. It was a 4.5 hour meeting. 6 motions were passed and they were mostly financial motions. And it was just an absolutely amazing day. We were able to have a pre-conference forum to help set up our delegates to have the opinion of our area with 6 breakout rooms. We have now had 3 area assemblies. We have done officer nominations and we have hosted multiple other big events in our area. We had to have our Illinois State Conference. In August, we had our convention and we chose to move that to an online environment. And tonight, I get the opportunity to participate in our annual event. It's called the All Chicago Open. It's where we're going to celebrate the 81st year of AA in Chicago. And tonight, our meeting will include Polish translation, Spanish translation, and ASL. And you know, I really take to heart how Bill Wilson said that clearly our first duty is to AA's future is to maintain in full strength what we have now. Only the most vigilant caretakers can assure this. I gotta tell you, I had no idea how much work this was going to be. I think someone was talking about it on the break. The amount of service work that I have done now literally has tripled. The amount of involvement that I see from our service committees is just incredible. And so what happened out of this very first service assembly that we did is that we had a bunch of information. And I wanted to do something with that information because I had 3 pages worth of notes and a lot of things that I would have done different. And though we did not miss a beat in our fellowship, and we mobilized very, very quickly to bring Alcoholics Anonymous to an online platform, we did have a lot of things that we needed to adapt and change. So I reached out to the General Service Office, and in April started doing a virtual sharing session. And this is now a monthly session. We meet on the second Wednesday. It's listed in box 459, and every single person is open to attend. Originally, we started with just area chairs, and our topics literally were, how do you do a virtual assembly, right? And then we went ahead and opened it up, and we had delegates join, and service committees join, and we've done polling to test on our subjects. The one that we had just this past Wednesday, which I see some of you were on, was about how to increase participation and have fun in AA, how to break down barriers and have inclusivity and increase the participation. And so when we had our first session in April, there was 113 people that joined. It was 2.5 hours long. And I will tell you, I literally shed a few tears because I had no idea what was going to happen. And so seeing all of these people show up for virtual assemblies and virtual committee meetings and here today tells me that we are headed in the right direction. And I've had the ability to share so many ideas with people who I've never met before. Why we never thought of doing this before, I have no idea. And I don't care about what's happened in the past. What I care about is what's going to bring us to the future. You know, this morning I had the opportunity to attend Area 49, which is New York, to watch their area election. There's going to be two more areas that are having area elections tomorrow. On that area election today, there was 224 people in the actual meeting room that were voting members, and another 80 of us were observing. And we are all across North America that are having the opportunity to participate in these workshops. So, you know, why did we start doing the sharing session? Out of a need. And communication, I think, is definitely going to be the key for our future. I think part of our future in Alcoholics Anonymous is that we now have a different vehicle to carry the message of our 12 steps, our 12 traditions, and our 12 concepts. And that message is not going to change. But we're going to change the vehicle. I think that online technology has given us the ability to what I like to call the art of the possible. And that we need to continue to find resources and all of people like you that are willing to step up and take additional service commitments. My friend Billy N likes to say everybody has a unique skill. We need people now who have unique skills in technology. We need you to join your local committee. We need you to join your districts and your area because you have these skills and there is a huge opportunity to have an additional commitment here. I want to share something with you, but I got permission to share this. These are my parents. My parents are in their 70s, and they are very high risk, and in many different categories. And when shelter in place happened, they had to instantly adapt and change their lives if they ever wanted to see their grandchildren again, right, in the immediate future. And so my mom teaches music lessons to my five-year-old niece and to my two-year-old nephew. My dad reads stories to them on a regular basis. Alcoholics Anonymous is growing farther and faster than we have ever seen in our history. We heard Royce talk about physical and virtual meetings, right? Integrating the online platform into face-to-face meetings. And that's what's coming up next. We are just peeling away another layer of the onion for Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. And we need to evolve more and more and more. During the break, I heard my friend Beth talk about voting for online meetings, right? I think we need to revisit how we communicate. I think we need to remain thoughtful and contemplate things and be patient and respectful and kind and loving. But we do need to revisit how we're carrying the message and how we're continuing to do service work. Sorry, that was in there from another slide, although I do hope all of you are clapping for me right now. You know, we need to revisit our resources, our tools, our newsletter, Box 459, the Grapevine, the YouTube channels. And I think that there's also definitely a way in which that we can continue to have the same passion. As I think it was maybe Michael talking about, I am more busier now than I have ever possibly been. I have doubled, even tripled the amount of time that I am doing things in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have been able to go to 3 district meetings in one night. That would have never been possible, especially with the traffic here in Chicago. But the one thing I do think we need to keep in mind is that Emmett Fox said, you can have anything in life that you want, but with it comes great responsibility. Technology means we have responsibilities. Technology means we need to revisit security measures. Technology means we might need to revisit a little bit of our anonymity. We might just need to change a few of the ways in which we have some of our language. And, you know, again, we might need to visit the way in which we are represented. Now, I am so grateful to the fellowship that has given me these guidelines and the principle that's literally a design for living. But the biggest thing that I have seen out of Alcoholics Anonymous lately by embracing this technology is that we're able to hit more remote communities. And that remote community could be by language, by geography, by special need, by culture. And as we also heard, there are more and more people that are able to attend meetings that they never thought that they could possibly ever attend before. So I leave you with this. Feel free to join the area sharing session. Feel free to bring the technology into your area and to continue to offer service commitments at the area and the general service level, because this is not going away. We're pretty confident that the next general service conference is going to be in a digital platform next year. And so I myself have tasked our Area 19 Technology Committee to